Start in Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1 and verse number 8, if you've got your phone handy. Daniel chapter number 1. There's 10 words I want you to put into your vocabulary and into your monthly lifestyle. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, it is great to be in your house. I ask that you would help us tonight to be your people, to be called not only by your name, but Father, to embody your character and to live a life that reflects you. Bless us tonight, God, as we look to your word. In Christ's name, amen. The first word I want you to put and think about is the word purpose. Listen up. Teenagers. Benjamin Mix. Teenagers. Get your posse focused. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Purpose. Living on purpose with a purpose. Knowing why you're here and fulfilling that purpose. We're to glorify God with our life. And that principle, the idea of fulfilling that purpose, should mark every aspect of how we spend our time and the attitude we carry, as well as the attitude we project to others. One of the things I teach my boys, I talk about to my boys is that attitude is 90% of everything. 90% of everything. Number two, I'd like you to put the word balance. Look at Proverbs chapter number 11. And verse 1, Proverbs chapter number 11 and verse number 1. Listen to what the Bible reads. Proverbs 11 and verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Now, I understand that the context of this word balance here is talking about not cheating somebody, because you measured everything in a scale. But as you would measure things like money versus wheat or whatever in a scale, you need to balance everything in your life like this. You need to balance it based on the weight of priority that it should have. So many times back in the 80s and 90s in my professional career early on, they worried about time management. How did you spend every 15 minutes of your day? And if you've never done that little process, it would help you tremendously. My preacher, my first position in the ministry, he had me write down what I did for 30 minutes. Every 30 minutes, I had to document what I did for the last 30 minutes, whether I was eating or sleeping or out soul winning or whatever. And what I found was you can't live your life by a stopwatch. You've got to live your life by setting priorities based on principle. What is it that you value? What is it that makes you fulfill your roles in God's kingdom, and you need to balance it, deciding which one's more important than the next, and what are the important things, making sure those are the things you do every day, those are the things you balance time for in the week. That word balance means to measure out or to weigh it. You and I have so many things that are just busy work, things that really aren't important and really aren't urgent, but somebody wants them done or you want to get them done, but they're really not important. They can wait. Number three is commitment. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. Number one, live by purpose. Number two, balance, weigh things out, and live your life based on what's valuable. 1 Timothy 4:15, commitment. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. That's the phrase. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. You need to fix your heart on the things that are eternally important. They need to be the priority, and they need to be committed to. They need to not only be first in importance, but committed to. I talk about this a lot on Sundays in my sermons, in the fact that there are people sitting in our pew every week who have pain, but they still come. We have people sitting in our pews that are fight cancer and have won cancer, but even during the fight, they stayed faithful. They served. They don't let the sniffles knock them out. They don't let inconveniences knock them out. Commitments are something you stick to no matter what it costs you. And we live in a society that doesn't value God or the things of God. They value their convenience. And you and I, we can get that way if we're not careful. We can let our conveniences run our lives rather than our commitments. So purpose, balance, commitment, consistency. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. I want you to see this tonight. And let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Like an eagle always flies above the sun, above the storm, so they can see the sun. You need to be consistent in your walk with God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You know, the truth is, I know this might shock you, but I don't always feel like being a pastor. I really don't. There are times, and you don't need to repeat this, but there are times when I'll leave, like Sunday night, I left here. We had a wonderful day. I think we broke an attendance record for the day. It was an awesome day. But for some reason, I left here feeling like I was in trouble. And I realized that's just the devil. That's just the devil trying to make me fearful. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You are not always going to feel like a Christian. You're not always going to feel like being committed or consistent. You need to understand that you are a Christian first. Above everything else, you're a Christian first. You're God's child first. And that should affect everything else. You can't let your heart deceive you. I get bad news all the time. I get calls all the time. But the truth is, I can't let what goes on in this world. I don't even watch the news anymore. I know that shocks some of you. You know why? I can't do anything about it. And I realize it just frustrates the dog out of me. And short of doing something stupid or saying something stupid, I'm better off just getting out my Bible and praying and being, like today we talked about being kind to people you meet. You may never meet that person again, but you just made the world a better place. And if you do meet that person again, out door knocking or at the park or whatever, you've got a really great opportunity to give them the gospel because you were kind to them. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What if Hillary would have won? We're still going to have church, right? If the next election goes completely to the side you don't want, whatever that is, maybe you were the part of the 50% of the country that was sad she lost. I don't know. But we're still going to get up tomorrow and have church and be a Christian, no matter who's in the White House or the courthouse or the schoolhouse. That's consistency. What if they'd have put a third bathroom in at the public school? We'd still get up the next day and be Christians. Do you understand? You cannot let the world around you dictate who you are and what you do. That's consistency. Longevity. Take your Bible, turn to Joshua 24. And verse 15, a very familiar portion of Scripture. I bet you some of my Awana kids can quote this. Who can quote Joshua 24 and verse 15? Nobody got called on the spot and wouldn't do it? Joshua 24, 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now wait on. I want you to look at that. Look at that phrase. Choose you this day whom you will serve. You need to make a conscious choice who is it you're going to serve. Teenagers, you're going to grow up in a world that's different than I did. You already are. You're going to have to choose who you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But look at that last phrase. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What if somebody you know who you've always looked to as a Christian role model goes off the rails? Are you still going to serve the Lord? What we talk to the teenagers about all the time in Glow Teens is you're going to decide what kind of adult you're going to be. If your parents aren't, if your parents aren't faithful, well, guess what? You're still going to have to choose. If your parents are faithful and love the Lord, you're still going to have to choose for yourself. You're still going to have to be the one that says, I am going to be the best Christian I know how to be. And that's longevity. Long to be as faithful as God is to you. That's our goal, to be as faithful to God as God is to us. That's longevity. It's not about, yes, we do it one day at a time, but the goal is to have a lifestyle, a lifetime of it. The next one is faith. Look at Job 13, 15. If anybody took it on the chin, it was Job. Look at Job 13 and verse 15. I want you to see this. Job 13 and verse 15. Job 13 and verse 15. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Do you realize that the death rate in Fairfax County is one per person? It's 100%. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. I have buried them young, and I've buried them old, and I've buried them in the middle. I've buried them where they walk, where they were not. They didn't drink, they didn't smoke, they didn't chew, they didn't run with those that do. They just dropped dead. The question is, are you going to live for God, even if life doesn't go the way you think it should? Amen. You know, there's people in our church whose life is not going the way they wanted it to go, quite honestly, in ways they never dreamed it would go, especially not when they were teenagers. You still going to serve God? Are you going to refuse to believe the doubts, even when God's plan doesn't make sense? Where there's life, there's hope. A live dog's better than a dead lion. No matter what condition you're in, whether it's an emotional problem or whether it's a physical problem or financial or relational, the question you're going to have is do I believe God? Am I going to do right and trust God no matter what? The next word is joy, Philippians 4:4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now that gets tough sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. That means always, in all situations, whether things are going right or whether things are going wrong, whether the diagnosis comes back not like you hoped or whether the diagnosis comes back better than you hoped. Doesn't matter. You're to rejoice because you need to understand that Christ is truly in control. The question is will you be faithful and will you be a witness? None of us really desire to be sick. But you know, when it comes to talking to medical personnel about the Lord, they're not going to answer their door typically and talk to you. But when they're sitting there having to minister to you medically, you have a captive audience. You know, God may bring death into your family so that you can witness. I get to witness the whole room fulls of people each month who never would listen to me otherwise. And I give them the gospel. Job said, "Yet even though he slay me, yet will I serve him." Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always, knowing that he is in charge. Whatever you're facing right now, God has got a way to get glory from it if you'll let him. Surrender. Look at Matthew 10 and verse 39. Surrender, Matthew 10 and verse 39. Matthew 10 and verse 39. The problem is we think of surrender as settling for less than what we could have. Surrendering is not settling. Surrender is full trust in God that he knows what's best. Look at Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. We need to hold on very loosely to the blessings and very tightly to the blesser. Love. The next word is love. Look at Mark 12 and verse 30. Mark 12 and verse 30. Mark 12, verse 30 and 31. Look what the Bible reads. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Love. If we live to please God and to give ourselves to those we influence, it will take love to do it. If we truly want to make an impact in the people we come in contact with, we're going to have to love them and we're going to have to choose to do it. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. I will give everything I have that you might grow or you might have the blessings of the Lord. It's going to take love to do this. And lastly, I want you to go back to Colossians 3:15 where we were before. Colossians 3:15, the last word is thankfulness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body. And look at that last phrase. And be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. You know, you and I deserve nothing. Amen. We deserve nothing. We really don't. And so often the devil's got us tricked into thinking that if we'll just, you know, the fact that we'll come to church, you know, God is just so lucky to have us. You know, he is so lucky to have us. And I'd like to think that about myself. Wouldn't it be great to think that of yourself? If God were to say, I'm so lucky to have you, Sarah. Wouldn't it be great for God to say that and go, thank you, God. And you feel so good about yourself. But the truth is, we deserve nothing. But we get everything because God loves us. We ought to be thankful. Truly thankful for what we have. Ms. Mix and I will talk to the teens about this all the time. There are children tonight who don't have homes. There are children tonight who don't have food. There are children tonight who don't have parents. There are children tonight who are in the sex trade. There are children tonight who are in forced labor. There are children tonight sleeping out under the stars with an AK-47 because they're a child soldier. There are people in this world, the majority of this world, just wants a handful of rice to get through the day. We'll throw away more food tonight than could feed villages in Africa. I mean, it's just crazy how much food we give away. We put more money into dog food, cat food, and pet care than we do missions as a nation. The world we live in here in America is a bubble, and we have no concept of what it's like everywhere else. No concept at all. We ought to be thankful. Just because persecution hasn't come here yet, doesn't mean it never will. Other people live in it every single day. We ought to be thankful. Some people don't have a church. Some people don't have a pastor. Some people would love to trade places with any one of us and sleep in our beds and sleep and drive our cars and live in our clothing and have our jobs. We ought to be thankful. Truly, truly thankful. I don't go to a lot of conferences. I don't like going to these big churches and things. Why? Because sometimes I'll forget just how blessed I am. You know, when you drive through the rich neighborhood, sometimes you forget just how blessed you are. Sometimes when you pull up next to an Audi dealer, you forget just how blessed you are. Sometimes when you know what I'm saying? We forget, we lose sight. And we forget that we have a purpose. And that we are to balance out by priority and value, eternal value, everything in our life. And we're to be committed to it. Committed to it. And we're to be consistent. We're to want a longevity. Not just, we call it popcorn Christianity, where we blow up, make a big show, and we settle down to doing nothing. That's the popcorn. We want longevity. We need to have faith. God's got it. We need to have joy, knowing that he's truly in control, and surrender to what it is he allows, and to choose to love and be thankful, because it won't come naturally. These are the principles that will carry you through, but only if you choose to do it, only if you choose to believe it and embrace it. starts with knowing the Lord is your Savior. If you died tonight and you're not sure heaven's your home, then you need to call upon Him, knowing that your sin is what Jesus took to the cross, took upon Himself at the cross for you. If you'll call upon Him and repent, which means to turn from your sin and call upon Him and believe that He died and rose again, He'll save you. And secondly, as a Christian, it's His pleasure we should seek. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we go from this place tonight, we've had fun, and God has truly been great to be with my friends and church family. Father, let us take these principles with us into our daily life. Let them be Your character embodied in us that others see. And God, may You be glorified, and we'll praise You for all You do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way? Miss Lisa, are we?